Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast is a mixture of short podcasts based on the blogs we have and longer podcasts, which will be interviews or discussion topics. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? On September 27th, 2023, about 22:49 Central Daylight Time, a Piper PA 28161 N3079M was destroyed when it was involved in an accident near Whitesville, Kentucky. The flight instructor and student pilot were fatally injured. What does this have to do with diving? We don't normally operate several thousand feet up in the air, but we are operating in a hazardous environment where accidents are possible. Along with that, we are also taught by instructors, and this is where the similarities with this accident exist. It is the actions and attitude of the instructor prior to this crash that I want to focus on. The technical reason for the crash is that the plane was flown into a storm which ripped the plane apart. However, as divers, we can learn far more from the non-technical reasons, as there is a lot of crossover. Human factors and non-technical skills originally came from aviation. It was seen that a lot of issues that were happening were so-called human error, so studies were made and systems put in place to try and reduce these. It is these subjects that we at The Human Diver teach to try and make diving safer. In the UK, aviation is governed by the Civil Aviation Authority, CAA. In the US, it's the Federal Aviation Authority, FAA. They teach according to slightly different standards, but one thing they do is require all pilots to learn about airmanship or aeronautical decision making. One of the key parts of this subject are the five hazardous attitudes. When I first heard of these, it was a moment of sudden realization for me. The comparison was obvious. Let's dig in so I can show you why this is such an important topic for divers. The five hazardous attitudes. Number one, anti-authority, or don't tell me what to do. We've most likely all encountered all the attitudes I'm about to describe. This one is the instructor who knows best. They don't need to follow the standards because they've taught the course before and know what they're doing. And anyway, they're only guidelines for lesser instructors, right? Antidote. The rules are that way for a reason, so follow them. Understanding the reason for the rule will help you to see why it's there. Number two, impulsivity, or come on, let's do it now. These are the instructors who don't want to wait for anything. Hurry up, get the buddy check over and done with, or even worse, don't worry about doing one so we can dive. They're the ones who see something interesting on the dive and leave their students to go and look at it. Antidote. Stop, breathe, think, act. It's rare to have to make a split-second decision in diving, especially if you have something to breathe. Number three. Invulnerability, or that only happens to other people. Running out of gas. Wouldn't ever happen to me. I know this is nitrox. I don't need to analyse. These ones think incidents and accidents only happen to other people because they're idiots. This instructor knows everything and wouldn't ever make such stupid mistakes. Antidote. It could happen to anyone. Staying humble and admitting your own fallibility helps keep you safe. Number four, macho, or watch me, I can do this. This instructor will take unnecessary risks because they need to prove they're the best, or at least better than you. I've been to X, pick any depth below recreational limits, meters depth on a single tank. Antidote, taking risks is foolish. If this goes wrong, can you justify it in court or to family and friends? Number five, resignation, or what's the point? If things get too difficult, they'll just give up. My student wasn't looking at me, so I didn't bother checking their gas. Antidote, I'm not helpless. I can make a difference. Never give up. There's always something you can do. I believe if these were taught in all instructor-level courses, it would reduce the number of incidents that happen every year. Sadly, as it is, many instructors pass their negative attitudes onto their students, causing the cliché of the egotistical instructor to continue on. What does all this have to do with the crash I mentioned at the start? Well, the instructor was not the student's normal instructor, and from the start was posting Snapchat stories criticising the student. In these stories, he made comments like, "Me and this student would not get along if he was my full-time student. I've seen faster at the Special Olympics." This was while the student was doing pre-flight checks. He also wrote, "I don't have to be up at 4:30 a.m. or nothing. The time showed it was 8:39 p.m. Let's take our sweet-ass time and have a conversation instead of getting this 3-hour flight done. The student appeared to be asking questions, presumably in order to learn. And the final story said, 1.6 hours into the flight of me giving it straight up, the student said, I don't mind you being hard on me, I know I need it. Me thinking to myself, did you really think I cared if you minded? As you can see, he is demonstrating more than one of those hazardous attitudes. Sadly, I've seen this same attitude demonstrated many times from dive instructors. It's become a joke in some places that the higher the certification level of the instructor, the more godlike attitude they display. As we can see from this case, that's exactly the kind of attitude that gets people killed. Even if the instructor is lucky and their student survives, there's a good chance they may never want to dive ever again. I have encountered a lot of people who have been put off diving because of an arrogant instructor who scared them, made them feel uncomfortable or in danger, or just made them think that they would never be any good at diving, so were discouraged from continuing. Worst of all, these attitudes aren't just experienced in instructors, but in divers of all levels. I will never forget the Great Lakes Tech diver who insisted that he needed about 3 times the weight I recommended and spent the whole dive with an almost fully inflated wing. Of course, he knew better than me. Or the newly certified rebreather diver who suddenly descended by 15 metres partway through our dive, taking him well beyond his certification limit and planned gas PPO. 2. He proudly announced afterwards that he'd broken his personal record and was shocked when I promptly refused to dive with him again, having spent the 2 minutes he was below me resisting the urge to chase him down, knowing that I might never catch him and would only be putting myself at risk. Or finally the dive guide, who insisted that taking his recreational diver below 40 metres on air and through a very silty, partially overhead canyon was perfectly acceptable as he's a good diver. We can all be better, and being conscious of these attitudes is a huge start. Knowing the antidotes is even better. Hopefully one day we'll have something similar in diving instructor courses to help people notice them and reduce them in our community. Until then, we need to stay aware of them, watch out for them, and encourage positive attitudes instead. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, The Book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.